So it's good to be back with all of you guys. I've been gone. I shouldn't say gone. I haven't preached a message in like a month and a half or 2 months. I've had a lot going on, but it's so good to finally be back with you guys. My boy Jay Flynn brought the word last week. I loved exactly what he said, and we're kind of picking up off this theme called Difference Makers as we kicked off in Freedom Weekend. So tonight, we're talking about a guy named Paul. Paul is like the coolest dude in the world. If I had a best friend, Paul would be my best friend, but I don't have any friends, so technically Paul is my best friend. Thank you. I appreciate that. Real friends, follow me on social media. Just kidding. Don't do that. I went skiing one time. You guys ever been skiing before? Anybody? A few times? A few people? Nobody? It's Houston, right? We don't ski. We like go to the beach. We have snow cones. But I went skiing one time in the snow chute in West Virginia. And I remember this was like one of the first times I've ever been skiing. And I'm with like a group of people that are just really mean. Not since they're mean to me. We're really good friends. We always try to like mess with each other and always try to like, I don't know, we just end up like roasting each other or like pushing each other down or just being mean. It's awesome. I love it. So I remember we're on the ski trip, we're on a ski lift. And if you've ever been on a ski lift before, you know that once you sit down on a ski lift, like you're in their control, right? There's nothing you can do. And so they always teach you to like keep your skis straight or whatever, whatever. So we're like, we're on the ski lift, get ready, I sit down, keep my skis straight. And all of a sudden we're going up and then we stop. Like we're stopped, like literally, we're hanging over this giant bank of snow. It looks like I'm gonna fall to my death. But what happens is that sometimes when people like try to get off the ski thing, they fall, right? And so like they have to like stop, and it's just terrible. So I remember being on the top of the ski lift. I've got my buddy Bob on one side, my buddy Mikey on the other, and they're freaking me out. They're telling me like we're gonna fall. And it's just a terrible time, and like we just got done eating lunch, and so they don't tell you to eat lunch and then ski right after. But we're like high school, college guys. We're like we're gonna do whatever we want. So we're on the ski lift, and it's dead stopped. And then I drank a lot of water that day. Like, I was so nervous. I drank a lot of water that day. And I remember being on this ski lift, and all of a sudden, it hits me. Like, dude, I've got to go to the bathroom. Like, I'm about to explode, right? But we're on this ski lift, and we are stuck. And I've never felt what eternity felt like, but I'm almost positive that's what it feels like, is being stuck in a ski lift with, like, thousands of feet, probably, like, 100 feet below you, and two of your buddies on the side of you just, like, starting poking at you because I know you have to go to the bathroom. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm stuck on this ski lift, and there's nothing that I can do about it, and I'm in control of this ski lift, and my buddies are just terrible people. And I remember thinking, this is probably the worst thing that will ever happen to me, is being stuck on a ski lift with two people I think that are my friends, but are jerks because they're poking me in the side, and I drank so much water, and it was just terrible. It was a terrible time. So like an hour, I don't know if like an hour passed or 6 days passed, whatever it was, we finally like caught off, and I sprinted. Well, I shouldn't say sprint. I like speed skied all the way to the lodge place. And dude, I like pushed over an old lady. It was incredible. It was a hot, hot of my life. But oftentimes, crazy things happen to us, right? We get put in weird situations, and we're always caused to like respond to those things, right? And so this dude, Paul, he was a good dude. Well, he wasn't a good dude, but then he became a good dude. So Paul, before Paul was Saul, right? We know Saul led persecution of Christians. He stoned Stephen and all these bad things, right? And then he had a Damascus moment. We sit there and the Lord's like, Paul, why are you persecuting me? And the next thing you know, boom, right? He goes on to like lead this movement into the New Testament. And Paul writes over half the New Testament, right? He writes to Timothy and he writes all these letters to the church of Corinth and Rome and Philippi and all these things, right? So Paul is like the gold standard of people, right? He is the dude of all dudes, right? So we can say that Paul was a difference maker, not only in the people he interacted with, but even today, because Paul's words still resonate for us. Right, and so a crazy thing happened to Paul and this guy named Silas. Right, so Paul always took people with him wherever he went. The guy named Timothy and Barnabas and all these people went along with him. And so he's with Silas at the moment. And so they're doing their thing, they're doing their Jesus thing. They're walking around and they're like proclaiming Christ's resurrection and all these things. And it's an incredible time for Paul and Silas. But there's always those people that always dog you, right? That always like think they're better than you and think you're wrong. Anybody? Yeah, it happens to me all the time, right? I always think I'm right, but I'm wrong. People hate me all the time. So Paul and Silas, they were doing their thing. Here's what happens. If you have your Bibles with me in Acts chapter 16, we're going to camp out in here. Man, Acts is a great book. If you've never read Acts, read it. It's incredible. Acts 16, 22 says this. It says, the crowd joined in attacking them, which is Paul and Silas, and the magistrates tore their garments off of them, and they gave orders to beat them with rods. And when they had inflicted many blows, which means when they beat the mess out of them, they threw them into prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. So having received this order, he put them in inner prison and fastened their feet in chains. And so what we have to understand is before this moment, Paul is literally like, there's this evil like girl that's like messing with Paul and Silas. And so finally, Paul's just like, yo, whatever's inside of you needs to come out. And literally, as soon as he said it, whatever was inside of her came out, right? So all these people are watching it. And so they're seeing like, oh my God, this dude is weird. And so all these people are like, we need to get rid of this dude. So they literally say what? They started attacking him. Imagine like being in the middle of like your school, right? And like all of a sudden everybody starts coming around you, starts beating you up, right? Literally, they were like sprinting 440s to come there and just beat the mess out of Paul with rods, right? And then when it said this, it says they threw him into prison, right? So the jailer was given a great task for Paul and Silas, was pretty much just keep him in there because of who Paul was. They had a very high, like, not just standard, but they knew who he was, very notorious, right? So they wanted to make sure that Paul didn't escape. So they threw him into like this deepest, darkest inner prison, right? So we're not talking like when you walk into a prison, have you ever seen like a TV show with jails? We're not talking like the ones right up front, right? We're talking like deep, deep down in there. You guys ever seen Aladdin? You guys remember the opening scene with like the little scary dudes like, ah, you know, and the lights like shining on him and like chained up against the wall? Yeah, that's exactly what's going on here, right? They bring him into this inner dark place and they tell the dude, says, hey man, look, whatever you do, don't let these guys go. And so imagine Paul and Silas at this moment, right? They just get done like doing what God has called them to do. And they've been like, Paul's been persecuted multiple times. And again, he's getting beaten up. He's getting thrown in. Like they ran at him. They beat him with rods, like until he's bleeding everywhere. Then they finally said, hey, we're going to throw this guy into jail. So multiple times Paul was persecuted for preaching the gospel, right? And so the jail was given a task, right, to bring him in there, brought him in the inner one, and they shackled him up because they didn't want Paul to escape, right? They didn't want Paul to somehow magically just get out. So the jailer literally bound him on chains on his ankles and his arms, and he's just in there, right? He's in the inner dungeon. There's no light. It's cold. It's dark. There's probably mice running around everywhere. It's probably some smelly guy in the next room next to him. But he's sitting in there helpless. There's nothing that he can do, right? And so in an instant, Paul and Silas go from being free among people, doing what God has called them to do, right? And in the blink of an eye, they're getting beat up, they're getting tortured, and they're getting thrown into the innermost part of a jail cell, locked up with nothing to do. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was Paul and Silas, I'd be pretty upset at this point, right? Like, how is it that I'm doing what God has called me to do, but yet I'm getting beat up every time I do something right? Y'all feel me on that one? Imagine being Paul, everywhere you go, proclaiming the truth that you know is the truth, but yet nobody listens to you, and they're beating you bloody, and they're throwing you in prison. And at this moment, he is locked up, and he is chained with his buddy Silas. No help whatsoever. So they tied him up, they did all that. So it's in every situation, we always have to respond, good or bad. Paul and Silas, they had nothing left, right? They literally, I probably thought this was it for them. We are going to die in this jail cell. But here's how they responded, which is so crazy. Verse 25 says this. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were unfastened. And so when the jailer woke, he saw the prison doors were open. He threw down his sword and he was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. Verse 28, but Paul cried with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And the jailer called for the lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Verse 31, here's where it is. It says, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." So imagine Paul and Silas, they're literally just getting done getting beaten up. They're chained to a wall in the innermost dark room of a prison, right? There's just bad situation. And here's what they do. They begin to sing praises and hymns to the Father, right? One commentary says this. It says they were praying for those who beat them. Like literally, in a matter of moments, the same guys that were beating them, they were praying for them. Said, "Lord, thank you for them. Thank you for letting them beat us up. Thank you for letting them make us bloody. Thank you for letting them throw us into prison." What we have to know about this is they were in the innermost parts, right? So they sang pretty loud because there's really nobody around them. And when it says this, is that the people heard what they were saying, which means they were shouting it at the top of their lungs. They were saying, God, you are greater than all these things. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. They would praise their runes, and they preached Christ unashamedly. So the same exact people that threw them in there, they said, Lord, thank you for that. Because they realized in the lowest time of their life that they needed to seek Jesus no matter what. Man, they said, God, thank you for the chains. They were loud. They shouted. They were inside the deep. They didn't care about what was going on around them. All they cared about was Jesus and what they had called Paul and Silas to do. They weren't letting those same exact chains hold them back from the mission that God had for them, right? Literally, they are broken, they are bruised, they are bleeding, they are chained up in a wall, no food, nothing. And they're sitting there saying, God, thank you for this. Thank you for my suffering. This is what it's all about. I don't care about what else happened, but Lord, thank you for this. These dudes are insane, right? Because as soon as something bad happens to me, I'm like, man, I can't believe this happening. What is this nonsense? But they're literally praising the Lord, praying for their enemies, shouting it as loud as they can shout it so everybody knows who they are and what they stand for, because they weren't going to let the circumstances around them affect their call and mission for Jesus. And so I began to think that, man, we all have chains in our life, right? Paul and Silas literally had chains on them. They couldn't do anything. We all have chains in our life. And I need y'all to listen up right here, because here's the most important thing, is everybody has a chain in their life, right? For some of us, that's sin, right? For some of us, that's sin. For some of us, that's right now, not even paying attention to a word I'm saying, because you've already checked out. But we all have chains inside of our lives that hold us back from what God is calling us to do. Our school hallways, peer pressure, relationships, social statuses, and wanting to fit in. If you say, I don't deal with any of those, you're lying to yourself. Because those chains often hold us back from doing what God has called us to do, and that's to be a light to everyone. These guys are physically chained to walls, broken, bruised, and bleeding, yet they were proclaiming Christ. Yet we walk our halls each and every week. We go to work, we go to school, and we don't have the nerve to share Jesus because we're afraid of what one person thinks about us. Well, here's a newsflash, man. Paul, he didn't care what people thought about him, right? His past, everyone knew him from his past. Nobody knew him from what he was doing for the kingdom. He could care less about what people thought about him because he knew the greatest call in his life was to serve Jesus. And there's no chain, nobody beating him, whatever stop him from getting there. So in the midst of being in jail and prison, they're praising Jesus, God, saying, thank you so much for this. Paul later on in his letters writes this, I count it all loss for Jesus. Because Paul knew this, that Jesus was enough for him and that nothing could ever keep him down. Not chains, not people, from sharing the gospel in the midst of being locked down. So here's what happened next. Here's what God always does. God always allows his people to come out. Verse 26, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's chains were unfastened. In the blink of an eye, Paul goes from being chained to a giant earthquake, right? And every single chain inside of that jail fell off every single person in there. They were free from the bondage that was holding to them. You guys remember the jailer, right? So here's what happened to the jailer, right? What is this? The jailer literally woke up and he ran to them, right? Some translations say he threw down his sword asking Paul to kill them because he knew this, is that if any prisoner would have escaped, especially Paul or Silas, he would have been put to death because that's the magnitude of what Paul and Silas were doing. This jailer's task, his only one task was to make sure that these guys never left that jail. And he knew if they left, he was going to die. So he goes in front of Paul and says, man, guys, please kill me. I know they're going to kill me if somebody leaves. So he's pleading with him, says, just end it right now. But what is Paul and Silas' response to them? He says, hey, man, guess what? We're still here. We're not going anywhere. So imagine being able to break free from your chains and run out the front door. Nothing ever going to happen to you, right? But yet Paul and Silas stayed there for one reason. Here's what we have to understand, is when the jailer ran to him, he was amazed, he was shocked, he fell down in front of them. And he asked them, He recognized what had happened. He recognized that everything that they said was true. And in a moment, he says, what must I do to be saved? In all humility and everything that he was, imagine, this guy had the keys to every single jail. He could have gone back up there and shackled everybody up. But what does he do in an instant? He says, hey, guys, what must I do to be saved? Because obviously, God is real, and obviously, he has changed your life, and I want him to change mine. And I look at the jailer, and it says, believe in Jesus, and you'll be saved, you and your household. Here's what we have to understand about Paul and Silas, man. It's our chains, the chains that they had, pointing that jailer to who Jesus truly was. Right? The chains that we have in our life, the things that hinder us from sharing the gospel, shouldn't hinder us. But everything that we say and everything we do should always point people to Jesus. You know, growing up, I played a lot of sports. And even in high school, a lot of people always look to you to mess up. Right? And I had a coach tell me, and you guys have always heard this, throughout all of life, they always say this, actions speak louder than words, right? And I had a coach, his name was Cole Chode, he told me this. He said, Timmy, guys will always look for you to mess up because they know you're a leader. So just like Paul and Silas, and they were given multiple times to just give up, to run from what God had called them. They were in chains, free to go out of their own will because God let them go, because God always lets people out of circumstances. But they stayed in there for the jailer. Right? Says, hey, you know what? We know our call, and our call is for you. And so your life's greatest gospel message ever preached is you. Not words, not anything, fancy things you can dress up, none of that. The greatest message you could ever preach is yourself. Because in that moment, what did Paul and Silas have? Them. They sang loud and proud. They weren't afraid of people around them. Yes, they were bound in chains, but those chains were not going to hold them down from the message that is Jesus. And the jailer's life was changed that moment, that day, because Paul and Silas chose to continue to follow Christ. So here's what happens next, verse 32. And they spoke the word of the Lord to them, which means they shared the gospel with him, and all who were in his house. And he took them that same hour of the night and washed their wounds. And he was baptized at once, he and all of his family. Then he brought them up into the house and set food before them. And he rejoiced along with the entire household that he had believed in God. So the jailer just finally understanding, hey, man, I'm saved now. I got Jesus. What does he do? He invites Paul and Silas, the same exact guys who he threw in prison, to come to his house because the jailer wanted his entire family to know the change that he had in his life. And what does the Bible say this? Is that what? Is that his entire family were baptized, right? The same guy that threw him in jail was washing his wounds. Paul and Silas baptized him, his whole family, and they made food for him. He says, you know, we want to give thanks to the Lord because he has saved us. And in the midst of Paul and Silas being chained up, guess what? The jailer's life was changed because they were obedient to the call that Jesus had. They didn't let these chains keep them down. They could have easily said, you know what, man, we are done, we are beaten. There's nothing we can do. This is it for us, Silas. But man, they stood up in the midst of chains and said, you know what, we're not going to let anything hinder us from the call that God has placed inside of us. And they sang loud. They rejoiced for being broken, for being chained. Earthquake came, chains fell off. They still stayed there because they knew that the jailer needed the same Jesus that saved them to save him and his family. Imagine this. Imagine if Paul and Silas would have never sang, would have never praised the Lord in the midst of being chained up. Imagine if they would have ran after the earthquake. That jailer's life would have been drastically different. Drastically different. Paul changed the jailer's life that day, and the jailer changed his family's life that day. All because his God made one choice. If Paul would have never been in chains, if Paul would have never been beaten, he would have never met that jailer. He would have never changed that jailer's life. Man, people make differences in people's life every single day. Middle school, high school, college, old people, young people. People always make differences. And a lot of times, those differences are kept in secret. Sometimes they're loud. Sometimes they're proud. And so one man, Paul, changed the course of history, course of life, for the jailer. Paul would go on to drastically change people's lives. In Acts, and he writes about how the church is formed. One guy that Jesus called out of sin to him through all of these things changed people's lives because he was obedient to the call that he had. There's a story about a 4th century monk named Telemachus. Right? He was from Asia Minor, and he traveled all the way to the Roman Colosseum. Right? And at this time, the Roman Colosseum was known for battles with gladiators. Right? So this little monk named Telemachus was a short guy. So he traveled up to the highest seat because he didn't have any money. And so he began to watch the battle. And there's thousands of people in the Roman Colosseum shouting and screaming at these gladiators as they fight each other to death. Telemachus knew inside of his heart that something wasn't right. So him being a little monk that he was, he stood up and he shouted at the top of his lungs, "In the name of the Lord, stop." People around him kind of caught on to what he was saying. They're like, "Dude, this guy's weird." He realized that they kept going on and on. So Telemachus moved his way down further and further. Got to the next section. He stood up again and he shouted, "In the name of the Lord, stop." By this time, more people were catching on to what he was saying. Telemachus moved his way down even further and further, closest to the arena. And he screams it again, "In the name of the Lord, stop." And by this time, people from that section were watching him as this little monk is making his way down almost to the front to where the battle is. He says it one more time, and he's screaming out these gladiators, saying, "In the name of the Lord, stop." And at this time, all the Colosseum was looking at this little monk as Telemachus hopped over into the battlefield. And he looks at the gladiators, and at this moment, the entire Colosseum is looking at this little tiny monk in the face of these giant gladiators. And he says, "In the name of the Lord, stop." And those were the last words Telemachus ever said. He died that day. The emperor got word of this, and 3 days later, stopped all the gladiator fights in Rome. Until this day, since Telemachus said that, no other fight ever went on inside of the Roman Colosseum. Because one man knew inside of his heart what was right. He didn't care what thousands of people were saying to him. He knew what he was called to do. Paul and Silas, they were chained in the lowly, darkest place. They didn't let them stop. They didn't let that stop them from sharing the gospel. Because our life, their life, should always preach who Jesus is. Because Paul and Silas' choice that day changed the jailer's eternity forever. Guys, there's people inside of your life that you seek each and every day. That you can be a difference maker in their life the same way Paul was. Because they weren't afraid of what people thought of them. They weren't afraid of a past. They could care less about a social status or anything like that. All they cared about was Jesus, because Jesus was enough for them. And Ellie's going to come out in just a second. He's going to play for us. And I want us to really just bow our heads real quick and just really think about this. Is that if Paul and Silas were chained in the bottom pit of a jail cell, but yet he proclaimed Christ, imagine what God is calling each and every one of you to do. These guys were physically chained up. They were beaten, they were bruised, they had lost all hope. But yet they stood firm in the midst of chains, saying this, like, "Jesus, you're enough."
We hope that you've enjoyed the message today and that it will be a source of encouragement to you this week. At Champion Forest Baptist Church, we desire to help people make sense out of life through Christ-centered living. And that's because with Christ, we have hope and true satisfaction. The Bible clearly states that all men have offended God by worshiping things He created instead of Him. We have chosen to reject His authority in our life and look for satisfaction in things He created instead of Him, which is ultimately pointless given that He is truly the only thing that can satisfy us completely. He is the perfection of everything we seek. The problem is, though, that once we have sinned against him by turning to these other things, a gap is created between us, not allowing us to access him anymore to find this satisfaction. God's character demands that our rebellion be accounted for before he forgives us. And this is the beauty of the message of Jesus. Christ is perfect in every way. He never rebelled against God, and he took upon our punishment on himself so that we could be reconciled to God and be fully satisfied in him, gaining eternal life. We need Jesus because without him, we are without hope, both in this life and for eternity. Turn to Christ alone for forgiveness and find satisfaction fully in our great God. Once again, thanks for joining us today, and we hope to see you soon.